Juliet Dogcast Radio. If you like dogs, wherever you are in the world, we're the show for you. Hello and welcome to episode 88 of Dogcast Radio. In this episode, we talk to Kate Nicholas, who you probably know better as the human half of Kate and Jin.
Ice is really different to Jin, whereas Jin wants to work permanently, but as soon as you've stopped working her, she'll just lie down, just chill.
Yeah.
But as soon as you go, come on then, she'll work again. She's got an on and off switch, whereas Jin is permanently switched on.
We also have the Dogcast Radio news, and I'll be talking about what I wish I'd known when I got Buddy. But before all that, a fiction feature. Starting at the very beginning. Written and read by Julie Hill. She stood in front of the beginner's class and looked around the room at the handlers and dogs assembled before her. Three unruly pups of around 6 months old, a large crossbreed whose pulling on lead was getting out of hand, two rescue dogs, and a youngster with his grand's middle-aged Jack Russell. They were getting into trouble, just sitting waiting for her to start the lesson. Leads were tangled and voices were raised. Penny took a deep breath in and said, OK, let's get started. She began with some easy on-lead walking, trying to get the dogs to focus on the handlers and ignore the other dogs. Some found it easier than others. They progressed to standing in a long line, weaving in and out of the others one at a time, still trying to maintain focus. Then it was on to a recall. Many of the dogs refused to stay in a sit and followed their owner as he or she walked away. Others immediately ran off for an inspection of the room, and one even cocked his leg up a chair. Fetching a mop, Penny despaired of this lot ever succeeding. They got worse with each new class, she decided despondently. You're all doing very well. It's still early days, she encouraged them, and set out a fun scenting activity to finish the session off. See you all next week, and make sure you practice 5 minutes a day, she called as they left. 1 week later, when they went through the same tasks again, it was obvious who had done no practice at all. Though, to be fair, no one seemed to have made huge progress. She stifled a sigh. Well done. It's getting better. The Jack Russell with his young handler was the first to perform a recall and barked excitedly at the praise he received. Then one of the young retriever pups showed promise during walking to heel exercises, remaining focused on his handler. Generally, the class was mayhem, and Penny wondered if they were the worst bunch she had ever been unlucky enough to train. The next week, a year-old beagle joined the class, and a latecomer never helped matters. All the dogs were unsettled, and the session was noisy and unproductive. It was during the fourth session that she realised she had got halfway through without having to stifle a sigh or force encouraging praise out. They managed to get some really good door manners going, with handlers preceding their dog through the door, and everyone managed a solid 30-second stay. It's really coming together. Well done, she told them as they went home, owners smiling, dogs panting, mouths open, tongues lolling. It was hard work, this training business. By the end of the 8-week course, Penny was proud of her students and was delighted when every single dog and handler passed the short examination and gained their bronze award. Without exception, they deserved it. They had worked hard and finally succeeded. They were as delighted as their teacher. The past few weeks had seen the pups gain some maturity, the large crossbreed gain some self-control, the rescue dogs had developed stronger bonds with their owners, and the middle-aged Jack Russell had a definite spring in his step. The beagle, Penny had forgotten he hadn't been there from the start, was still ruled by his nose, but was keeping up well. Every single one of them wanted to continue to the next class and was determined not to let all their hard work so far go to waste. Penny was delighted. It was what made her job worthwhile, seeing people and their dogs working together. She knew a trained dog was a happy dog and also resulted in a happy owner. When they met a week later to commence silver lessons, there were new challenges, such as the road walk and car manners, only getting in or out of the car on command. But Penny knew they would get there. The new beginners class was a different matter altogether, though. A retired greyhound, a reject guide dog who was obsessed with food, two puppies who seemed to have no training whatsoever so far, two other young sister puppies who squabbled amongst themselves continually, and a bearded collie who seemed a very well-meaning dog, but whose owner seemed to have no idea how to control him. Penny regarded the sight that met her forlornly. Perhaps this lot were beyond even her. Could she ever lick them into shape? Already, just as they waited for her to begin the lesson, dogs were barking and patience was running low. Penny took a deep breath in and said, OK, let's get started. You're listening to Dogcast Radio on www.dogcastradio.com. My dog is worried about the economy because Alpo is up to $3 a can. That's almost $21 in dog money. Joe Weinstein. Kate and Jin were catapulted to fame by the UK television show Britain's Got Talent. They amazed us, and Simon Cowell declared that all his life he'd been searching for another lassie, and in Jin he had found her. Success like that is wonderful, but difficult at any age. And Kate was 16 when it happened. Now, the doggy dancing duo have become a trio, with the arrival of another border collie called Ice. Now, when you've had such incredible success with a dog, how on earth do you go about choosing another one to hopefully follow in her footsteps?
Well, basically, I wanted one that looked a bit like Jin.
Yes.
And one that I thought might have workability.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, when you want one that looks a bit like Jin, so did you sort of surf the net and look at other collies that could, you know, were breeding at the moment, or what did you?
Well, I went on like pet sites which had lots of litters on and from all over the country and just looked at pictures basically.
So then when you got to the point of going to visit the litter, you know, well, how old was Ice when you first saw her?
Well, she was 8 weeks.
Oh, really? Yeah. Right. Oh, right. So when you went in, sort of what assessment sort of thing did you do with her?
Well, she was the woman's pick of litter and she really wanted her to trial with her. But I managed to persuade her to let me have her. And she's just really naughty and she's so independent. She was running around the farm just like she was a big dog.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, Graham Sims we've interviewed, who was a shepherd and did displays with his dogs, and he always says for a good sheepdog, you want them sort of on the edge of madness. So you're sort of looking for that kind of, you know, lots of get up and go and...
Yeah, just lots of life. And
And so what was her ancestry? Was she from sort of that kind of working, or, you know, what success had her ancestry had?
Yeah, I think her granddad was a world sheepdog trial champion.
Oh, wow, excellent.
And she's got lots of trial champions in her.
Yeah, yeah. She's certainly interested in the sheep today.
Yeah. She's going to have a go one day.
Yeah, is she? Oh, brilliant. So you went to see her when she was 8 weeks old, and you knew that day, did you?
Yeah, and then she came home with me that day.
Oh, wow. Excellent. And what was it like going from Jin, who you've sort of got to this peak of trained, you know, trainedness, is that a word, to taking this naughty, confident puppy in?
Well, she was not as mad as Jin right from the start. she's never been that mad. She's been quite sensible compared to Jin. Like, Jin used to, you try and bring in the house and she'd run in the opposite direction, whereas Ice has always been biddable and gone, oh, yeah, I think she knows she's got to follow in great footsteps.
Yes, and, oh, yeah, she has.
And I had to think about training Ice because with Jin, I was only 9 and I didn't really think about it. I just went and had a go and it was guesswork. And with Ice, I wanted to start right from the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, because with Jin, did you sort of have to campaign? I know you come from a doggy family, but did you sort of have to campaign to get a dog of your own?
Yeah, well, I was offered a Welsh Terrier from the next litter we had, but I didn't want a Welsh Terrier because I'd seen all the collies do agility.
So you obviously knew that you wanted to do to sort of do that agility fly ball kind of so going back to the beginning with Ice, how did Jin react?
Well, Jin has ignored her from day one, which is really quite sad. The occasional when she's not Jin thinks she's not looking, she'll have a quick play, but as soon as you're looking, she's like, no, wasn't talking to her. It's really odd. Oh.
Like, no, she's below me.
Yeah.
I'm a star.
Yeah. Oh, bless her. Oh.
And, I mean, I, again, saying that there are lots of dogs in your household, aren't there? But what's it like for you, having two dogs that are specifically yours?
Well, it's really nice because, like, when Jin is out and about, she's got a friend, even though she kind of ignores her. I just got a friend. And it's just nice to have two.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, you were 9 when you had Jin. So this time, I mean, when you're little like that, you get cut some slack, don't you? And don't have to do all the horrible jobs like sick and...
Well, I think I did, really.
Oh, did you? Yeah. So, I mean, was there much difference between how you... You know, mothered, if you like, parented, you know, Jean in those early days, and Ice. Did you have to do a lot more being older?
No, I think I did the same amount of work, but I think, again, Ice was a lot easier. She was almost house trained from day one, whereas
Excellent.
Jean wasn't.
Yeah.
It's like, it's really odd.
Yeah. I was going to say, because Jean was challenging, wasn't she?
Yeah, she still is.
Do you think it helps with Jean that you do work her so much? You know, she's got a lot to occupy.
Yeah, she really needs that stimulation. I think if she wasn't, she would have been kept being rehomed.
Yeah.
Because she's mad, literally.
Oh, bless her. Don't let her listen to this. Calling her mad. So, when did you actually start training Ice?
Well, from day one with Ice, whereas Jin, she started training when she, like dancing when she was 6. So it's, I think it's come a bit more natural to Ice.
Yeah. So how old is Jin now?
She's 8.
Yeah. Wow. So how long before Britain's Got Talent had you started doing the dancing with Jin?
Probably about a year and a half.
Really?
Yeah.
Gosh.
Actually, like starting, thought, oh, I'll train some tricks.
Yeah. And I mean, I've heard it said it's kind of obedience to music. Yeah. So you've done obedience with her?
Well, we've tried. We've done lots of... She always used to go to puppy class. And we managed to get a goal, but I don't know how. But she's just ever so naughty in obedience. It's just she'd find a way to make you look like an idiot. She'd tell her to stay in a recall and she'd come running up behind you barking.
Yeah.
So obedience bored you.
Do you know, she sounds a bit Labradory, because that sounds like a sense of humour.
Yeah.
How can I be naughty? So that was Jean. So she got her bronze, silver and gold.
Yeah.
And how's Ice doing with that?
Well, Ice has got a silver and soon to do a gold. But Ice seems to love obedience, whereas Jean's the opposite. It's really odd.
Yeah. And how did that feel, sort of going back, you know, to the beginning, going in, you know, with a puppy, again, rather than going in with this trained dog that you know, you can sort of...
Well, no, Gina was always the class clown. She makes sure she'd do the opposite to what you said, so it's like, right, I'm going to show you that my dog can do something once.
Oh, so Ice is taking to it really well?
Yeah, Ice loves it.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant, really. And you're going with Carol Thorne?
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. So I hesitate to ask this now, having prepared these questions earlier, but do you use Jin as a model for Ice in any way?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, for example, I'm thinking with, we have a Labrador and then we had a Bichon, and I couldn't get the Bichon to do a down. But I noticed when I called them to me just for a treat or something, she'd be looking at him, sort of going, what are we doing? What are you, and copying. So that was quite easy. So have you done?
Yeah, I've noticed that with Ice quite a bit. She does copy Jin, because I think she was about 5 months of age and she stood on her back legs and goes, look, Jin does this. I was like, you shouldn't be doing that, you're too young. It's terrible. Oh. Yeah, I really noticed that, the way she just copies Jin.
So we've established that Ice has been easier in some ways. So what motivation, you know, what have you used with her? What makes her work?
Well, Ice just loves you being happy and bubbly and just fuss and just, like, really happy with her. And anything. She's so easy. Toys, treats, anything.
Yeah. That's amazing. And she's still so young.
Yeah. She's really surprised me.
Yeah. And what other activities... Can she do any activities yet, like agility or flyball?
Well, she's doing well at a flyball. She's really good at that.
Yeah. So is she too young for agility?
She's not 12 months yet.
Yeah. And will you progress to that?
Yeah, definitely. Maybe work in trials as well.
Oh, wow, excellent, yeah. And I think I read that Ice has just qualified for next year's Cruft, is that right?
Yeah.
So how did she do that?
Oh, she did really well, and she won her obedience class.
Oh, wow, excellent.
And got no marks off, so...
Wow. She's perfect.
She's a swot.
Yes. So what class will you be in at Croft?
Graduate, YKC.
Right, excellent. Is there anything else that we haven't done, sort of awards or achievements that she's got that we...
I was judging at the West Glen Hewitt Music Show, and the secretary persuaded me to have a go in the puppy of Hewitt music class, even though I hadn't prepared anything, hadn't got any music. It was like, fine, just walk in the ring and we'll put some music on and do whatever you want. Yeah. And she went in there and I just kept thinking of things as we went along, and she was amazing. She was, I was prepared to like, because I thought she'd get bored really easy and just wander off.
Yeah.
I think the music was like 4 minutes long and she was there. She was really attentive and she loved it.
Yeah, really, that's surprising. Brilliant, isn't it?
And she got a little rosette because it wasn't judged, but everyone got a rosette.
Yeah.
So that was her first rosette.
Excellent, yeah. So had you done much heel watch music at home with her? Or?
Yeah, I've been teaching the tricks, but I hadn't put them together. So I thought if I put them together, she'd get bored and go, you're just being silly now. But she really liked it.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Now, saying that focus, I mean, I've seen you at, at the Hillwatch Music Day, the companion show at Carol's, and you are very, very focused. I mean, if you're not, there were lots of youngsters coming up to you, sort of fans, which is brilliant. And there were, you know, you could see them being inspired, having a go with their dog. But if you weren't talking to somebody, it seemed to me you were working gin at that point.
Yeah.
Where does that focus come from for you?
Well, I think I just go out there and try and achieve the best I can with my dog and just see how far we can get and achieve.
So. Yeah. Do you ever kind of think, oh, I don't want to do this, I don't want to train today? Do you ever have like an off day where you think, not today?
No, not really.
See, that's age, I think.
Yeah. I think I'm a slave driver, really.
but you enjoy it.
Yeah, and the dogs love it.
Yeah. And his eyes sort of focus like that.
Yeah, ice drags you outside to change. She's mad.
That must be, I mean, you put me straight if I'm wrong, but that must be part of the Border Collie heritage, because with my Labrador, you know, we did hear words music, but he was always ready to knock off and have a fuss or a cuddle, or, you know,
Well, ice is really different to Jim, whereas Jim wants to work permanently, but as soon as you've stopped working her, she'll just lie down, just chill.
Yeah.
But as soon as you go, come on then, she'll work again. She's got an on and off switch, whereas Gin is permanently switched on. So I think it is a collie thing, but I think it still varies.
Yeah, because saying that with Gin at that Hill Watch Music, when you'd done your display, which was brilliant, and she'd done that and she was really excited, she sat and you could hear her breathing. She was like, right, I want to do some more, I don't want to sit.
Whereas I would go, done my bit now, just go and watch and check out the world.
She wants the spotlight, doesn't she?
It doesn't let whippersnappers in.
What do you enjoy more or most? The training part, the being with your dogs and working, or the displays, or the competing?
I think it's the training and just spending time and the bond. And
Because it can give you a higher real sense of achievement.
Especially when you're teaching a new trick or something and suddenly it clicks and you're like,
got that.
Yeah.
And you're sort of a team with them.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah. Do you get nervous?
Yeah.
Yeah. What makes you most nervous, the displays? Or...
Yeah, definitely displays,
And I've had very limited experience because I'm not a brilliant trainer, but when I have done things, or even done the good citizen things, and I'm nervous, my dog picks up on it. And I did notice when we all did the class, the test at least, the dogs were behaving slightly differently from that. So do you get that with your dogs?
I think Gin's the same, but I haven't really experienced much with ice. But I was nervous in the obedience show we did, but she was still was faultless.
It's like, don't worry, I can do it.
Doesn't need me.
Yes. And every dog, it seems to me, is different, you know. Obviously, different breeds would have more different, but every dog is different anyway. So, has ice taught you anything about training?
Well, having Gin and being such an unruly dog to start with, it's really helped me train ice and to
Yeah.
But she is, yeah.
So it would have been a shock if it had been the other way around, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah. If you had a nice car and don't start, yeah.
Yeah, and definitely, then she descended on.
Yeah, definitely.
And does ICE like meeting the public?
Yeah, ICE loves cuddles. And
yeah. And because Gin does, doesn't she? She likes it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you going to do any routines with the two of them?
I might do, yeah.
Yeah. You haven't worked them together yet?
Not yet. No. Well, ICE is too interested in standing on Gin currently when you try and work them together.
Oh. I was going to say, is because they're both female and they're both the same breed and that, so there's quite a lot of similarities, although the age thing.
Yeah.
Who's the boss, or do they sort of...
Well, I haven't worked that out, because sometimes it's Gin. Gin nicks Ice's bed and a chew, but sometimes Ice does it back, so I don't know.
Yeah. Oh.
I don't think they know themselves.
No, no. I think as well, I mean, it depends. I have quite soft breeds, Labrador and Bichon, so they're not that bothered. But Star, although she, the Bichon, although she doesn't want her food that much, she guards it.
Yeah.
It's hers, thank you, until she's finished with it, and that's an issue for her. Whereas for Fuss, Bud will just come along and, in the nicest way, just push her out of the way and go, fuss me. And she just goes,
Yeah, that's a bit like Gin.
Yeah,
because Ice guards her food, but she's more, I need that food, whereas Gin likes the fuss.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess they have their priorities, they pick their battles, don't they?
Yeah.
A lot of people keep, you know, a show lead or a bag or something that is a signal to the dog that, this is, you know, we're going off to a show or, you know, and even some people keep different agility stuff and show stuff or, you know, different things. So do the dogs know when they're going off to a show or a display?
I don't know. I think they do. I think works work for them. And
yeah. So they're not particularly bothered. No. They're just like, and, I mean, we've touched on this a little bit, but do they just chill out at home?
Gin doesn't. Gin's permanently... like running around the house, whereas Isis just sleeps and Gin's just can't switch off.
So what's a day like for you? So, you know, I mean, obviously a weekday is going to be different from a weekend, but if it's a weekday, do you sort of have to get up really early and make sure that Gin has that exercise? What's a day like?
Yeah, you just get up and take them for a walk and then come back home for an hour, just chill, and then maybe train Gin and train Ice, and then it's probably walk time again.
And
it depends whether it's somewhere else or
And a weekend's fairly busy.
Yeah, well, weekdays are too. It all depends.
But at weekends, do you sort of often have a show, like to compete in or a display? Now you wrote a book. You brought your book out. Did you enjoy writing that?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. How long did it take?
I think it took about 6 weeks.
Oh, wow. I've just gone off you, big time.
Because he only had a short time to fit it in between the tour and finishing the live show.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, that's incredible. Any other books planned?
Not at the moment.
Now, you've got your own website now.
Yeah.
So what's on the website?
Well, it's my blog and pictures and... basically everything what we're doing and videos and all sorts.
And can people contact you?
And there's a forum on there.
Oh, is there? Brilliant. Oh, that's good. Yeah. And can sort of people ask you about training things?
Yeah, that's what it's for, training tips and things like that.
Have you had any questions that you couldn't cope with or that were interesting?
No.
No. You know what you were doing. You're on Twitter, aren't you? Now, how have you found Twitter?
It's quite good. I just forget to keep adding my status.
So you haven't got addicted to it?
No.
No. Is that the lure of training? Is that where all your time?
Yeah.
No time for the internet. Now, do Gin or Ice have their own page?
No.
No. Any plans for that?
Might do.
See, I think it's quite mad if you look at it. I can send you the links if you like, but there's two dogs who are talking to each other and sort of almost boyfriend and girlfriend-like. And then there's a lady in she's a it's Hopton House Bed and Breakfast in Shropshire, and her dog is talking to Buddy, to my dog, online, and you just think, this is quite mad. This is, but there is quite a lot of doggy people on there, aren't there?
Yeah.
And for a long time, I used to sort of watch people like you doing here, work to music, or, you know, whatever it was. And think, I'll have a go at that one day with my dog. If somebody's listening to this and they would fancy having a go, you know, obviously get up and have a go. But what's an easy way into doing something with your dog?
Well, just contact your local dog training club and see what they've got available and go and try new activities.
Yeah, yeah. Now, with Gin, you did the heel work to music training on your own, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you doing that with Ice as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But obviously, with other things, you find the support of a class.
Yeah, well, Ice goes to obedience class and fly ball as well.
Yeah, yeah. Does Gin still do fly ball?
Yeah, Gin's just fly ball. She's just received her Pearl Award. Oh, I think that's 30,000 points.
Wow.
Yeah. She's been in fly ball for 5 years. It's taken a while.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Now, would you ever breed either dog?
Well, Gin's spayed and Ice is planning to be spayed.
Yeah, so there's no plans for that, no. And I think I know the answer to this one, but would you ever consider another breed?
I would think so. I'd like either a Belgian Shepherd or a Australian Shepherd that kind of shepherdy herding thing, I think.
Yeah, so similar. You'd never go for a gun dog?
Well, I don't think so.
No.
I mean, we've got gun dogs at home, but...
What have you got?
We've got a black Labrador and a yellow Labrador.
Yeah. Oh. But they're just not the same mindset, are they?
No. Well, the Ted, the yellow one, he can do a lot of tricks, but he's into other things.
yeah. There comes a point with the lab where they just go, enough.
Yeah.
Enough. Whereas the border collie seems
just... Workaholics. Yeah. All the herding dogs are workaholics.
Yeah. So what does the future hold for you? What would you like to be doing sort of 5 years, 10 years' time?
Well, hopefully set up my own training academy and train animals for film and TV and media.
Yeah, oh, brilliant. You have to pass your test for that, you're driving.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. Thanks for that, Kate.
Okay.
For the day when she does pass her test, she has a van all ready, complete with the interior lined in pink to suit her two clever dogs. If you'd like to find out more or ask Kate a question, you can visit their website, kateandginofficial.com. And you can tweet them on Twitter as Kate, Gin and Ice. My dog's not spoiled. I'm just well-trained. Unknown.
Hello and welcome to the Dogcast Radio News Desk. I'm Kate.
And I'm Nick. Does your dog often dig up odd bits and pieces in your garden? Well, spare a thought for the owners of Lottie, a Labrador Collie cross from Suffolk in the UK, who recently dug up an unexploded bomb in her garden. Luckily for Lottie, a bomb disposal team removed and dealt with the bomb, but who knows what she'll unearth next.
Police dogs generally do a wonderful job assisting their handlers, but appropriately named German Shepherd dog Chaos recently got things a little wrong. When dog handler WPC Katie Johnson was shot in the leg, she let her police dog loose and told him to detain her armed attacker. In the confusion, Chaos mistakenly grabbed Katie by the arm while her assailant escaped. But poor Katie has forgiven her dog, as in training the targets are shouting and moving around, which the real-life robber was not doing, while she herself was calling out to the dog and lying on the floor. The police force has no plans to retire Chaos, and the criminals were later apprehended and prosecuted.
There are special considerations with the little dog, as Chihuahua owners in Michigan, USA recently discovered. Their tiny dog Tinkerbell was blown away by a strong gust of wind. Tinkerbell was discovered in a nearby wood, but only with the guidance of a pet psychic. Apparently, the dog was dirty and hungry, but otherwise none the worse for her adventure.
And talking of hungry, do you know that dog food has been improved so much that many people can't tell it apart from pate? According to a study published by the American Association of Wine Economists, when presented with samples of 5 kinds of processed meat, including pate, Spam, and an organic turkey and chicken puppy food, Only a sixth of tasters correctly identified the dog food.
Mind you, dogs do develop a taste for the most odd things. When Dixie, the Dalmatian Collie cross, lost her appetite and was clearly not well, her worried owner took her poorly pooch to the PDSA's Pet Aid Hospital. The source of her illness was shown up in x-rays and promptly removed by vets, and it turned out to be a small plastic figure of Homer Simpson.
Then Jack, a golden Labrador puppy, went one better and ate an entire fridge magnet alphabet off his owner's fridge. Poor Jack had been castrated the day before, so it's not clear whether he ate the plastic letters while feeling groggy or as a protest. But the outcome was the same either way. Jack found himself back at the vet having another surgery to remove the chewed up plastic pieces from his stomach.
Let's hope in the future Jack will mind his P's and Q's better, as well as his A's, B's, C's, and so on. And finally, we all know we need to provide our dogs with the best medical care we can. But did you hear about the dog who was sent a reminder for an eye test from the shop Vision Express? Harry is the dog in question, and being a Newfoundland, I doubt they'd find a pair of glasses to fit him. Harry has recently been receiving a variety of junk mail, so maybe Vision Express thought an eye test might help him read it all. And that's all from us on the Dogcast Radio News Desk. Goodbye.
If you think dogs can't count, try putting three dog biscuits in your pocket and then giving Fido only two of them. Phil Pastorit. What I wish I'd known when I got my first dog. I thought I had prepared thoroughly when I brought home my first dog, Buddy, an 8-week-old black Labrador puppy. I had read round and researched the breed, puppy raising and dog ownership in general. Plus, I had lived in the same house as a dog before. But he was my mother's dog, and there is a huge difference between living in the same house as a dog and being the dog's main carer. Those first few days with my puppy were a sharp learning curve, and there are some things that I wish I'd known. The main area I struggled with was toilet training. I had read and heard much of the speed and ease with which Labradors pick up correct toileting behaviour. All those stories of young pups who arrive in their new home, trot happily out into the garden to do their business, and thereafter never, ever soil or dampen the interior of the house. Such was my naivety that this, or something close to this, was what I expected. Don't misunderstand, I was prepared to put the work in to help my dog quickly acquire a concept of where to go and where not to go. To this end, I exercised constant vigilance. He was taken out to the garden, where I waited patiently for him to produce something which I could praise and reward. However, this was in early February, when it was cold and often wet outside, which is not weather conducive to patience or perseverance. It was frustrating to stand in the garden, shivering, for as long as I could bear, only to have Buddy pee or poop as soon as we returned into the house. At the end of 10 days of dog ownership, I felt that all I had done was run around after my dog, cloth in one hand, cleaning spray in the other. In desperation, I put newspaper on the floor, which he learned to wee on very fast, although solids were another matter. I practically developed a nervous twitch in my obsession with his toilet habits. I observed him closely at all times. Any suspicious behaviour had me jumping up to whisk him outside. The main consequence of this was that he became very nervous about where to poo, and would most happily defecate right underneath the dining room table, which I suppose offered him the best shelter from me descending on him. My breaking point and the turning point came one Saturday evening, a few weeks into the training process. I shadowed Buddy into the dining room and saw him assume the position. I knew he was about to poop, and I knew I had seconds to act. I leapt forward and grasped him. Holding him out in front of me, I hurried towards the garden. Unfortunately, it was too late for him to hold it in, and the result was a hideous brown trail stretching across the carpet from where I had picked him up, tracing the route I had taken. We ended up out in the garden, me crying as I knew I was getting it very wrong, and also that I had a dreadful cleaning job to carry out when we got back inside. Buddy regarding me curiously, simply standing there. He had nothing to do, as his little bowels were completely empty, and there was no newspaper handy to pee on. After that incident, I relaxed, and the situation improved, but in the long run, he was over-attached to going on newspaper and found it difficult to transfer outside. I am ashamed to say that he was over 12 months when he stopped accidentally soiling inside the house, though by that stage it was very infrequent. I know that I made countless mistakes in toilet training him, but I learned my lesson and put it to good use when helping my daughter toilet train her puppy 3 years later. I only wish I could have had that knowledge with Buddy. Walking to heel did not come naturally to such an enthusiastic dog as Buddy. For months, I did that walk so common in lab owners, lurching along unevenly, arms stretched to its limit. Various head collars proved useless, and it was not until I discovered clicker training that I adequately conveyed to Buddy that I wished him to walk alongside me, not way out ahead of me. It was marvellous to virtually see a light bulb illuminate above his head when the penny finally dropped. Being a gun dog, Buddy was extremely orally obsessed. He picked up everything and anything he fancied, which was almost everything and anything that wasn't nailed down. He ran off to the garden with television remote controls, shoes, gloves, small toys, items of dirty laundry, items of clean laundry, mobile phones, tissues. You get the idea, don't you? He would triumphantly gallop through the house and out into the garden, his stolen prize gripped between his teeth, with me in pursuit, shouting. I would chase him around for several minutes without much hope of catching him. Eventually, when he tired, I would corner him, pin him down and reclaim my property. While I stomped away, he would shake himself happily before trotting off to plot more crimes. He didn't destroy any of these items, though he did leave teeth marks in some of them in excitement. But it wasn't until I had a moment of revelation that I understood why he persisted in his thievery. One day, he ran outside with one of my slippers, and rather than run after him to retrieve it, in disgust, I shut the patio door and drew the curtains. In truth, I did that because I couldn't bear to look at him, flaunting his disobedience yet again. It was the best thing I could have done, because when I drew the curtains back 5 minutes later, having calmed down, there he was, nose pressed up against the glass, slipper discarded and forgotten in the middle of the lawn. Now the light bulb lit over my head. Now the light bulb lit up over my head. It wasn't the stolen object he wanted. It was the attention that the theft brought him. To him, it was fun beyond words. Once I cut him off from that source of entertainment, and his offences repeatedly led to him being suddenly isolated on the wrong side of the window from me, it was astounding how quickly his life of crime came to an end. Of course, there are many other lessons that Buddy and I learned together, and Labradors are a blessedly forgiving lot. It wasn't all bad, but it certainly came as a surprise to me just how badly behaved a young dog could be. The pity was that he didn't know he was being bad, and I hadn't yet got the knack of communicating with him effectively. He was incredibly beautiful as a pup, with an expressive face, an affectionate nature, and the softest fluffy coat. Perhaps the other most significant fact I had no awareness of was that I would become besotted with my canine baby and grow to care for and worry about him so much more than I ever anticipated. From the day he became mine and I became his, there was a big part of my heart that belonged to him. And that will always be so, because your first dog, like your first love, is something you never forget. Till next time. Look after yourselves and your dogs.
Thanks for listening to Dogcast Radio, available from www.dogcastradio.com. That's dogcastradio.com. If you'd like to get in touch with us, and wherever you are in the world, we'd love to hear from you. You can do so in a variety of ways. By phone from the UK, you can contact us on 0121 288 0922. From the US, you can contact us on our American number, which is 315 849 2022.
from any other country, you'll need your international exit code and then 44121280922. You can contact us on Skype with the ident Dogcast Radio. That's all one word, Dogcast Radio. By email, you can contact me on julie@dogcastradio.com. When contacting us by email, if you have the facilities, please record your questions or comments and send them to us as an audio file. That way we can include them directly in our programme. We can accept most formats, for example, WAV, MP3. All these methods of contacting us can be found on our website, which is www.dogcastradio.com. And as ever, the final word goes to Jenny.
Why is a toothless dog like a tree? It has more bark than bite.